I invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. And in a little bit different twist than we may normally approach the Scriptures, I'm not spending as much time on the atmospherics or the history leading up to this particular Scripture, but what I'm looking for and what I hope to share this morning is that defining moment that occurs when something very powerful happens, and it happens because of the presence of Jesus Christ. And how is it that we apply that in our lives today to we have that defining moment and we realize that, oh no, we've been doing it wrong, or oh no, I should be doing this differently, and that I should stop what I'm doing and I should change the way that I'm doing something and start looking at life or a particular situation in a little bit different view. And now I invite you to hear this gospel. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the roads by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to ask you a question to start off with this morning. You don't have to answer, just think about it. Have you ever had one of those moments that stopped you in your tracks and made you ask, "What was I thinking? Why in the world did I do that? Why in the world did I get involved with this? And how could I have not seen the writing on the wall? Or how could I have been so foolish as to be involved with this?" Maybe it was a job that was too good to be true that you gave up a stable job and went to it. Maybe it was a business deal that had no risk, or a land purchase that was way too cheap. But something about it made you hear all the glamour, all the advantages, all the pros, and you never thought about the downside of it. The downside of something that was just really too good to be true. Or perhaps maybe you were one of those people that just said, "Well, you know what? It's just my good fortune that I stumbled into something like this, that this fell into my lap," because you're viewing it from that single perspective, that single dimension. Brothers and sisters, what I share this morning is that a single perspective or single-dimensional living can be dangerous. If we only see things as they directly appear in front of us, that type of living can be dangerous. And what we see with this Gospel of Matthew this morning is a defining moment when these disciples that Jesus approached, this strange man walking up a lakeshore, but this defining moment when four people step outside of a single perspective or a single dimensional type living and see life in a different way. They see something deeper than what it is. They see something that is really not visible, because there's a spirit, there's a power, there's a draw to what's going on with this encounter that Jesus has with these disciples on the lakeshore. That defining moment. Last week, I had one of those moments in really a different kind of way, but it stopped me in my tracks and made me realize that, you know what? it is so easy to get focused on the things that are really not so important. Most of you know my family enjoys being outdoors, and we hunt. We hunt a lot. And we spend a lot of time in tree stands looking out, in ground blinds looking out, or lean back against a tree looking out, taking the whole world in from a perspective of what we can see that is in front of us. So we're sitting here, and whatever's in front of us is what we're taking in with this world. And really, our world is limited to what's right there in front of us. But last week, Angel and I had the opportunity to spend 3 days, hours upon hours, laying on our back in flooded ditches, looking into the sky. And something happened as I laid there and looked into the sky, because I wasn't looking that way. I was looking that way for hours upon hours upon hours. And I was amazed, almost to the point that I felt like I had made a new discovery of how different the world appeared when I focused my attention upward rather than outward, or rather than what was in front of me. The clouds and the skies, they had no boundary, and they seemed endless, and they just kept coming. The only way you could know something, you knew something was different, like the wind, is if you felt it, or if you saw a leaf float by, because you couldn't see the trees waving. There was nothing in your to distract you from what was above you. And then life in the form of birds just emerged seemingly out of nowhere. 1 minute nothing was there, and the next minute there was life. And as I laid there, nothing seemed to matter. Nothing seemed to matter because there was nothing directly in front of me, only prayers, only thoughts, only thanksgiving for just having that opportunity to be there, being immersed in that moment, and just the endless and infinite possibilities about what the skies and the heavens had in store for us. And as I laid there, I did what any respectable preacher would do. I thought, I said, you know what? This will preach. This is something that I can share, because it's an epiphany, if you will. And I was touched in a different way about when I started thinking back at my own life about how easy it is for us to get focused on the things that are not important. And brothers and sisters, preach it, we will. Think about what our God has in store for us. But the problem that we have is way too often we're concerned about what's visible, what lies in front of us, or the difficult terrain that we got to navigate. We're worried about this bill, this job, this obligation that we have, or maybe this sickness that's in front of us, or this potential problem, or whatever it is. We're worried about what we can see. And we don't spend as much time thinking about the unseen or the things that are not visible to us. We're focused, we're distracted, our attention is drawn away from God because of what's right here and worries us the most. And if you think about that, if we spend so much time worrying about this little problem here, how is it that we can feel the grace and the mercy that our God has in store for us if we're so focused on that rather than focused on what's coming from the heavens above? We worry about the seen without giving too much attention to the unseen. And that's where our faith comes in. We heard the choir share this morning, trust and obey. That's the only way. There is no other way. It's about faith, living in a faith, knowing that our unseen God, our invisible God, will perform these miracles that we heard shared as testimonies this morning. It's about having faith that our God's not going to leave us, our God is not going to forsake us, and our God is always going to be there. It's about having the faith to trust and having the faith to live a life and not being distracted by the problems that might be here, but knowing that our God has something greater in store for us. Look at the disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They were minding their own business. They were fishing for food, fishing for their business. That's how they made their living. And then this man came along the lakeshore. He offered nothing prosperous, nothing glamorous, and definitely nothing easy. But he came along that lakeshore and offered them a chance to be his disciples and to be fishers of men. What would have happened if they would have stuck with that single dimensional view of life and said, really? This man walking down this lake shore? I'm going to follow him? What would happen in their lives if they had not dropped what they were doing, stopped what they were doing, and picked up their cross and followed him? How would their lives have been different had they not done that? How would their lives have been different if they had not done that? But they got out of that single dimensional view and they felt that there was something greater there. They never would have experienced what God had in store for them if they had said no. But they felt something in His presence. They felt something in His Spirit that caused them to stop what they were doing. To stop what they were doing and to follow Him. To follow Him and to leave behind their nets. To leave behind their fathers. Because they knew there was something to Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind. And as Christians, when we accept Jesus Christ in our hearts, we make that same type of commitment to leave the things behind that no longer matter. And we accept that commitment to go forward and to go past where we've been. We make that commitment to go forward in a new life. New life has been breathed upon us. We hear that we leave behind who we are, the things of our past. And in spite of who we are in the past, Jesus still loves us. And Jesus still forgives us. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're offered an eternal life. When we become Christians, when we accept our baptism, we get out of that single dimension of comfort and just existing into a dimension of acknowledging the life and the blessings, the new life and the blessings that come from above. And as we accept our baptism and our reception into the body of Christ, we go about living and we let the world be as it might, but we go about the business of being disciples. We are to see different. Not to see what's just in front of us, but to see the hope that comes from above. We go about the life of feeling different, of being different. And the encounter that I had this past week reminded me of how guilty I have been at times. Of being distracted on this journey in life and being concerned with the things that are not important. Of how easy it is for something to take away from the real importance in life. The thing that's important, though, brothers and sisters, and we know this, is our faith. The faith that we have, the faith that we walk, that spiritual journey that we have, and the forgiveness and eternal life made possible through Jesus Christ. And all He asked in return for the blood He shed is to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, love our neighbor, and to go forth and to make disciples. And what I invite you to do today, what I invite you to do today as you go from this place, is to stop and take a breath. To take a look at something in a little bit different way than perhaps you have viewed it in the past. Maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe it's an object. Maybe it's a tree. Maybe it's a pond. Maybe it's a cloud. Maybe it's a relationship. But just stop and take a look at that in a little bit different way and see if you can see it in a new way. And I also ask that if you spend maybe 20 minutes a day in prayer, reflection, and scripture reading, that maybe you bump that up to 30 minutes or 40 minutes a day. And then ask yourself afterwards, how is it that you see God differently? How has God revealed Himself to you in a different way? Or how has that additional time and reflection with our God changed the way that you see this world? You see, what lies behind us is not what we fear, nor shall we worry. But what lies ahead is the glory promised to us through our Almighty Savior. And today, the question I leave you with is this. Can we be like those disciples on that lakeshore who dropped their nets left their fathers and went forth in faith with the Savior of all mankind to be fishers of men. Defining woman. Getting out of single dimensional living. Living in the dimension of Jesus Christ. And a life of faith. Today we give the honor and glory to God. Praise be to God.